It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here. After a 3-1 Blackhawks loss to the Dallas Stars, you can call or text 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in on this postgame show that's going to go up to 10:30 tonight. And for more on tonight's action, let's go back to American Airlines Center and bring in Troy Murray for a game recap. Troy, just looking at the raw numbers, shot attempts, shots on goal, scoring chances, everything was heavily tilted in Dallas's favor tonight.
They were the better team. They deserved the result in this game. The Hawks need to play, you know, better for 60 minutes. You can't just hope that one period gets the job done. They did have a strong push. Give them a lot of credit for not quitting in this game and making it interesting. One bounce at the end there, and it could have been a tie hockey game, but just wasn't meant to be. And for the Dallas Stars, kind of just went about their business. Blackhawks got to find a way to ramp up that energy a little bit earlier, and they'll be in these games, but you have to have some consistency. You have to play 60 minutes. It's not all about just the strong push at the end and staying in games, and this is exactly what happened in the last time that the Blackhawks were in here before the Dallas Stars went to Finland, almost a carbon copy, where they didn't play well through 40 minutes, and all of a sudden things started to click. Their energy was there, so it's not like they didn't have energy, and you're worn out because they showed it in the third period there. A lot of times it's the mental side of it, and they got to get that straightened out.
For sure. I think offensively, too, the Hawks had a really difficult time generating any sort of high-quality scoring chance. They got some in the third period, but by that point, a recipe against the Dallas Stars team is not to, you know, wait to the third period to make a push. Like, you need almost a complete 60-minute effort to beat this team.
They're a good hockey team, and they're a Stanley Cup contender. They're right there. So, yeah, I agree with you as far as your assessment there. And, you know, for the Blackhawks, through 40 minutes, it was one and done. Just no pressure on Ottinger, who was making saves, nobody around the front of the net. And all of a sudden, the third period, you're creating second and third opportunities. That determination of winning battles in the offensive zone, keeping pucks alive, getting pucks to the front of the net, goes a long way. And they had second and third opportunities in the third period that they weren't generating in the first 40 minutes. And that's something that they really have to stress on. It was one of the things that I talked about. And the key to the game is getting to the middle of the ice. They did that in the third period, but they didn't through the first 40 minutes.
Can that be a psychological hurdle for a Blackhawks team? You're playing on the second game of a back-to-back. They're coming in a little bit fresh because they had been in Finland for, you know, they hadn't played in like 5 days. But you're going up against a Stanley Cup contender in the Dallas Stars. It's almost like the energy is going to be there, but it's like you have to kind of convince yourself that you can win this hockey game going in. And we've seen the Blackhawks do it this year where they've beaten some good teams with Edmonton and Colorado. They just haven't been able to do it against this Dallas Stars team specifically.
Well, you know, I don't know why it's specific to Dallas, but, again, you kind of go back and you say, okay, the travel was tough and all that. Well, how can you have that much energy in the third period if you're worn out from the travel and you just don't have it through 40 minutes? It's a mental state, and the team's got to believe inside that room. And, you know, they're saying all the right things, and they've been saying the right things for a long time. And I'm not saying it's the bad thing to do, but, you know, when you hear the repetitiveness about, you know, we have to be ready for 60 minutes, we have to be mentally strong, we have to stick to our structure. Well, they got real sloppy in the first 40 minutes. There was no structure. You know, Dallas was picking them apart. They had trouble making tape-to-tape passes. Their execution out of their own end was not good. Dallas kept plays alive. They got scrambled around. The middle of the ice was open. Soderblom, we'll talk about him in a minute, was fantastic. But if you look at the way that the game pans out here, there's no more excuses for this team. They're in a position where they got to put some games together. If you had played well last night against Detroit, and if you back it up a little bit, two strong performances, great goaltending by Mrazek and Soderblom on the last two games of that road trip, and then a solid effort yesterday against Detroit as far as your goaltender, but not much as far as energy up front. If you win that game, which to me was a very winnable game, those are games that I think this team should really believe that they can win those games, especially when you're playing in front of a great crowd at the United Center. They just didn't have the energy. And if you win that game, now you come into it, you're riding a three-game high, and you don't, you know, mentally you don't think about the start of the game. You're just pumped up, you're ready to go because you're on a roll. Now you lose that game in the fashion that you did. You just didn't play well. Now you got to think about that. Now you take the long trip into Dallas. You didn't have the morning skate, and you're not riding that emotional high from the win last night. So it didn't start off well, and at some point they got their legs, they got their game going in the third period, but they need to bring that against these good teams for sure for 60 minutes, or you'll get the same results.
You mentioned Arvid Soderblom. He's now had four starts this season, .933 save percentage. He was excellent tonight, but he really has been excellent all season.
Yeah, it's great for him, and we don't know when Laurent Brossoit is going to be coming back here. He's had some off-ice workouts, and hopefully he's going to join the team at some point here in the near future. But this is a really good sign for Arvid Soderblom, it seems like he's got his confidence back where it needs to be here. You know, he played well in this game, really well, and kept the team hanging around. And that's what you want your goaltenders to do, give yourself a chance to win. And I'm really happy for Arvid. You can see that even just his demeanor when we're around the team and you're talking to him. He's a quiet guy, but when you have an opportunity to talk to him, you can tell that there's a little bit of a different aura about him, the way that he has as far as his mindset about where his game's at.
Last one for you, Troy. Luke Richardson really changed up all four lines were different in this game compared to anything we've seen earlier in the season. Taylor Hall was with Connor Bedard. Tara Vinen was with Kurashev on the fourth line. Any lines stand out to you particularly? And what were the buttons that Luke was trying to press by giving a different look on all four lines?
Well, it just didn't like what was going on in the last game yesterday against Detroit. You know, tough to kind of judge what was going on in this game because 40 minutes nobody was playing well. The line combinations didn't seem like they were factoring in. You had frustration from Connor Bedard, who takes an unsportsmanlike penalty. You know, he wasn't getting chances, his line wasn't creating many opportunities. Bertuzzi scores the goal on the power play, but I thought that the Teravine and Kurashev and Bertuzzi line, you know, struggled 5-on-5. The Dickinson line is they are who they are. They work hard and they do a lot of the little things right. I didn't mind Donato and Smith and Mikheyev. I mean, that line works hard and they bring it to the table every time. I think that we are looking at it, where you're going to create the offense from this group of guys, and right now they're struggling to find their confidence in their offensive game.
All right. Thanks a lot, Troy. Come back home. It's been a long last few weeks for you guys, just bouncing back and forth from Chicago to road trip. Hopefully the next week you'll have some normalcy in your life before the other trip in Seattle.
Yeah, have you looked at the schedule yet? one game at home and then back on the road, I think, to Seattle and Vancouver, right?
Yeah, I was counting it in real time. We're going to get 5 days in Chicago before you got to head back. Only one home game, though, in that span.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, you know, then again, you know, you're heading out, two-hour time change to head out to the West Coast, and you play, you know, two good teams that play well on home ice. Vancouver still is kind of trucking along the way that they've played last year and this year. Seattle still maybe trying to find their game. They're kind of hovering around the same record as the Blackhawks. But, you know, again, it's another long flight out there and time change that you're going to have to deal with. And it's just part of the schedule. And I guess maybe the good thing is you're getting a lot of these long road trips out west in Canada here out early, and then maybe some of the travel moving forward will be a little bit easier.
Yeah, a lot of home games stacked for December, January, February, so that'll be nice for us. We'll get to see each other a lot. I mean, it's unfortunate for you, though, because you'll have to hang out with me more.
You said it, I didn't.
You were thinking it, though. I said it for you.
I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just saying you said it.
All right, safe travels back home. Behave yourself on the plane.
Good job, Charlie.
All right, thanks, Troy.
Bye.
All right, Dallas Stars really were in total control of this game from start to finish. The third period got a little dicey for them, but at no point did it feel like the Stars were kind of out of control of the hockey game. And you just look at the raw numbers. Shot attempts in favor of Dallas, 79-47. Shots on goal were 40-26 Dallas. Scoring chances were 33-23. It's a little bit closer than I thought. These are all according to Natural Stat Trick. The first period, though, for the Dallas Stars was completely dominant. They outshot the Blackhawks 16-5, and then scoring chances were 15-3. It didn't feel like the Blackhawks got any sort of high quality scoring chance in that first period. And like Troy mentioned, the feel of this game was very similar to the feel of the game from a week and a half ago, or whenever it was, 2 weeks ago, when the Blackhawks were in Dallas. They fell behind 2-0 going into the third period. Identical script. Dallas ended up scoring the third goal in the third period in the last game to go up 3-0. And then Ryan Donato and Connor Bedard scored to pull the Blackhawks within 3-2. And the Hawks had an extra attacker opportunity in that game, 6-on-5. And referenced this quite a few times now, but Seth Jones had a shot from the point, and that puck was looked like it was going to hit the inside of the post and go in. Nick Foligno was standing in front of the net, and he redirected the puck. Unfortunately, went the other way, not into the net, and that would have forced overtime. And it just had a similar feel in this game. Hawks got outplayed for the first 40 minutes, ended up pulling within one goal with the Tyler Bertuzzi power play goal, and then they had chances on that 6-on-5 opportunity, but Logan Steenhoven had the empty netter with about 45.4 seconds left to kind of seal the deal. So the Hawks have, you know, just thinking about it, the Hawks have actually had quite a bit of chances on their 6-on-5 opportunities. The two chances in Dallas, they had one in San Jose, the one in San Jose on the road trip, they did everything but score. And then in LA, when the Hawks had, what was it, 8 shots on goal total in the first 2 periods of hockey, then end up scoring 3 in the third period to force overtime, then winning a shootout. So they've actually been quite impressive in that department. The problem is they're falling behind in those games, and you don't want to be in those situations a ton, because it means you're going into the final minute of the hockey game trailing and trying to find a way. So that's what they say about the whole putting together full 60 minute efforts. You can't really take a period off in this league, so it's tough for the Blackhawks to come back. Hey, I want to mention the first goal by Dallas, Logan Stankoven's goal. You saw Luke Richardson on the bench speaking with the officials, because presumably we originally thought, like, was it an offside? Is he going to challenge something? And two teams line up at center ice. The officials got together and huddled up, and then play went on, and didn't really know what was going on until the TV broadcast here in Chicago ended up showing that the camera hole wire. So the photographers are anchored in the corners of the ice, and there's a little latch that they can move the kind of the plexiglass to get some photos in there, and typically they'll close it. And what I think happened is it kind of got on the outside of the ice or of the glass, and it fell onto the ice, and so you got this big wire hanging down from the plexi and the little hole, and the plexiglass was on the ice, and so the puck ended up hitting the plexiglass on the ice, popped up in the air, and then so it impeded the play. And then seconds later, the Dallas Stars scored, and it was hard to catch in real time because it's hard to tell like what the heck just happened. And so I was wondering why the Blackhawks weren't able to challenge. I did get confirmation that they were in fact not able to, it wasn't a challengeable play. And so I reached out to a former NHL rules official, and this is what the reply was. Quote, "I don't know the exact reason, but I'm going to assume that because the puck never went out of play and hitting an object on the ice is never an automatic whistle. It would be the same situation as when fans throw stuff on the ice. There's only a whistle if the debris makes play impossible. If it was simply a rolled up program and the puck carrier made contact with it and kept going, the ref wouldn't blow the whistle. Certainly not an advantage by the scoring team." So, you know, it's unfortunate for the Blackhawks because it's not like it was something that, you know, it was like a broken stick or whatever, and it hits. It kind of reminded me of, like, I don't know what the difference is if the puck hits the netting, then comes back into play, and you're allowed to challenge that play unless the puck leaves the zone, then you can't. And so in this particular instance, the puck never left the zone. So I figured, oh, maybe this could be a challengeable play, or maybe it should have been, but I guess it's not. So I don't know if that's something the NHL will kind of take a look at and come up with some sort of rule of whether that qualified as something that was just not part of the normal part of the game, because that's a very rare occurrence. I don't think I've ever seen that before, but that kind of helps explain the confusion of what was going on the bench for the Blackhawks after the fact. Very, very weird situation. I mentioned the Blackhawks, they finished with 26 shots on goal. I think at one point, how many did they finish with in the through two periods? I think it was somewhere like 20 or probably, I think it was like 13 or something. And it was funny because I wrote this down, but the Hawks had 5 shots on goal in the first 30 minutes of play. They ended up having 5 shots in a 10-second span on that fourth line shift right after Dallas scored. Tyler Seguin made it 2-0. The fourth line had a shift right after. It was Ryan Donato, Craig Smith. They had a shift in Ilya Mikheyev. They had a shift right after. It was a Donato shot, a Mikheyev follow-up. Then Vlasic recorded 2 shots. He ripped one of them, and then he followed up with another one shortly after. And then Connor Murphy shot one from the point. Jake Ottinger ended up gloving it, and it ended up being a stoppage. But I was looking at that, I'm like, man, the Hawks went from 5 shots on goal to 10 in a 10-second span. So that also kind of makes the shots on goal a little bit more lopsided. It was 40-26 Dallas. But if you kind of eliminate that 10-second shift, the shots on goal would have been 40-21. So basically half of what the Blackhawks were, you know, expecting. This stat also jumped out at me. The Blackhawks going into this game, a hits per 60 minutes was 17.95, which is actually among the lower teams in the NHL, 26 to be exact. They finished with 39 hits in this game, and every single player on the Blackhawks except Teuvo Teravainen recorded a hit. And it's funny because Connor Bedard finished with 3 hits in this game, and he was joking around before the Detroit game when I asked. He laid a big hit on Patrick Kane in the first meeting last year, and I, you know, kind of joked around with him. I said, "Hey, are you gonna go after Kane again? Deliver another big hit?" And he kind of laughed, and he's like, "I don't think I have a hit all season." And so in this game against Dallas, he recorded 3 of them. Seth Jones led the way for the Blackhawks with 7. Right below him was Nick Foligno at 5. So Blackhawks threw out a ton of hits, but you know what they say when you have a lot of our high hit total is that it's often an indication that you're spending time chasing the puck. So that feels like that's what the Blackhawks were doing a lot of the games. All right, let's take a quick break on the Blackhawks post-game show. We're actually getting sound from the Blackhawks locker room. We'll hope to play that on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Hawks win the draw. Allen passing on the left wing side of the Hawk zone to Teravainen, who shot it across the rink. Kurashev in the right wing corner tried to center the puck. This is picked off by Andrew Faulk of the Stars, and there's the horn, ending play in regulation. And the Stars win the game 3-1. They outshot the Blackhawks in the game 40-26. Arvid Soderblom, another solid effort in goal, unfortunately sees his record fall to 1-2-1. Well, with this win, the Dallas Stars extend their record now to 7-4-0. The Blackhawks' overall record 5-8-1. And the Hawks will head back to the United Center to take on their Central Division rival, Minnesota, on Sunday evening.
Back on the Blackhawks postgame show, those are the final seconds of the 3-1 loss for the Blackhawks in Dallas. When we had Troy Murray on, I heard Chelsea Dagger on in the background. The Stars, I keep forgetting that they play that song after they beat Chicago. One day the Blackhawks will be back on top, and the karma will be funny, I think. Arvid Soderblom was absolutely terrific in this game, and I want to give him a little bit more love because he was terrific in Anaheim. It was probably one of his best games as a Blackhawk. I think he stopped like 3.86 goals or 8.7 or 3.67 goals above expected. And just looking at the raw numbers in the game today, he ended up stopping 37 of 39 shots for a save percentage of 949. And so total now this season, he has 125 saves on 134 shots for a 933 save percentage. And I was looking at the NHL.com. Among goaltenders with at least four appearances this season, only one goaltender is ahead of him, and it's Freddie Anderson, who has a 941 save percentage. He's actually out of the lineup right now because of an injury. And so that's some pretty, the sample size is starting to grow for Soderblom. And I was looking at Money Puck as well. They have Arvid at 1.27 saves or goals save above expected today. So he has been delivering for the Blackhawks in the four starts this season. And it really does help, as Troy was mentioning, not having Laurent Brossoit as he continues to work his way back from a meniscus injury. Arvid playing the way he is now is making it easier for them to make sure that Laurent Brossoit is taking his time and getting 100% healthy. Let's go to the Blackhawks locker room sound. Seth Jones just spoke in Dallas. Let's hear what he had to say.
Seth, what do you kind of make of that one?
It was kind of the same story from a couple weeks ago when we were here, actually. Didn't play a good two first periods in the game. Didn't feel connected at all, and still found ourselves in a hockey game. We almost got a chance at the end there to tie it up, send it overtime again, but just didn't go. But I think the point of it is we can't expect to play one game against a team like this, or really anybody, as a matter of fact.
What do you think has been the issue with getting the starts that you want? Is it something that you guys are lacking in your game, or is it something that the other side is doing that keeps you from getting to your game?
We think we can control the way we play, the way we start in games, regardless of what the other team's doing, regardless of the pre-scout. We can always control work ethic. We can always control energy every time we step on the ice. And I don't think it's a systematic thing. I think it's just us working together, being close, supporting the puck, getting to the neutral zone properly and not turning the puck over. And you saw we created some chances, just based off their turnovers alone. So that's the way we need to play 60 minutes.
About halfway through the game, you guys only had five shots on goal. What is the feeling on the bench when you guys have such limited opportunities at that point?
Well, I don't think anybody's feeling bad. No one feels bad for us. No one, we're not going to look for anybody else to solve our problems. We need to be able to not turn the puck in the neutral zone and give ourselves an opportunity to get a shot on net. So we need to get through with speed, have good dumps. Andrew played the puck really well tonight again. When he stops it behind the net, it's tough to forecheck. And so you see that break the puck out clean, and it's back in our zone right away. So have better dumps, I think, throughout the game. We create more turnovers and then get low to high, pucks to the net, and traffic to the net, really.
So what is the positive you can take out of a game like this, knowing that when you really got your game going, you were hanging with one of the top teams in the league?
There's no positives in losing. We're all sick of losing. We need to find a way to win hockey games, regardless of how we start or how we finish. We care about results.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Seth Jones. Obviously, the tired of the moral victories or the losing is weighing on them. And I don't think there was probably no moral victories in this one outside of maybe the pushes in the third period where you're just finding ways to hang in the hockey game. But just at no point did the Blackhawks feel like they ever were in control of this game. Let's go to Tyler Bertuzzi. He scored the lone goal for the Blackhawks in this game. Starting to heat up slowly, quietly. He has three goals in his last five games. Let's hear what he had to say after this loss.
Tyler, the last two games you've played here in Dallas, you've been pretty noticeable on the ice. So what is it about your game that you notice when you're really clicking?
Just getting in on the forecheck, trying to create traffic in front, trying to get around the area and try to get some loose pucks and bang them home.
What made it so difficult in the first half of this game to get to those areas? Was it something that you guys were struggling to get to the front of the net, or was it something that Dallas was doing to keep you away from those areas?
Yeah, we weren't ready to start tonight. obviously we made a push in the third, but that's just too late. We needed to be ready to go tonight and play full 60, and we came up short.
What do you think the key to getting those better starts is?
Just focusing, getting ready, knowing when the puck's going to be dropped, and just work ethic. For your first shift of the game, just go hard, keep it simple, and plays will come from that.
You guys had 5 shots on goal about halfway through the game. Is that just a byproduct of that start, or was it like?
Yeah, probably a little bit. We need to shoot more. Everyone. Whether you get a D from the top or a 4 getting in the slot, we can't just try to be making the cute play. We just got to shoot it and get some rebounds.
That was Blackhawks forward Tyler Bertuzzi, finished with a goal, his third in his last 5 games. He also had 3 shots on goal. I like the way his game is trending. He's had a really slow start to this season. Was totally, I don't want to say invisible, but we didn't really notice him in a lot of the earlier games, but now he's starting to find his groove. He's been pretty decent on the power play. He's slowly starting to get some 5-on-5 scoring as well. He got robbed it was 5:30 left in the game by Jake Oettinger. And so, if that goes in, it's a different story. The Hawks tie it up, and maybe there's some momentum there. But I like the way Tyler Bertuzzi's game has been trending. So we'll see if he can continue that. I want to go to a quick texter, the 520 area code. Hey, Charlie, can you give your thoughts on Connor Bedard's play the last few games? When I watch him, he seems like maybe the pressure of expectations may be weighing him down. I'd like to see him just go out and play like he knows how. Brandon F. Brandon, I know who you are. I met him for the first time yesterday. He is a loyal guy. He's been listening to our podcast for a very long time. So thank you, Brandon, for the question. I'm not sure if it's the expectations that are getting to him. I think it's just, I feel like at every level Connor Bedard has played at outside of the NHL, it's the game plan is to stop Connor Bedard. And in juniors, it was really hard to do for opponents because he was clearly so much better than a lot of his peers. Even in the World Juniors, you're like, wow, that guy is so much better than everyone else on the ice, and he's doing it at such a young age. When you come to the NHL, you're facing elite NHL players. I mean, it's Connor McDavid, it's Nathan MacKinnon, it's, defensemen like tonight, Miro Heiskanen, and all these shutdown type of players. Jamie Benn was unbelievable in the faceoff circle today. NHL.com has him as 16-0, but I'm pretty sure he lost one to Connor Bedard late in the third period there, so I don't know. But, you're going up against guys that know, okay, if we shut down number 98 tonight, we're going to win the hockey game. And also, these are the best coaches in the world. You're talking about, Pete DeBoer and all these NHL coaches that know how to game plan for elite superstars. And so Connor's, I feel like he's just still trying to find his way on how to handle all that attention. And it's really hard because you can see him trying to do it himself, because he can do some moves that very few people can do. And sometimes he gets away with it, sometimes he doesn't. But sometimes you do have to kind of utilize your teammates. I was listening to the Wayne Gretzky clip yesterday after the game, just some advice that he would give to Bedard. And it's kind of, and Wayne had said, just utilizing his teammates a little bit more. It's really hard to kind of be a one-man show in the NHL. Not to say that Connor is that player, but it was easy for him to be a one-man show in juniors because he could dance around all 5 guys, no problem. In the NHL, he might be able to dance around a couple guys here and there, but to do it on a consistent basis is really difficult. I also want to point out, Connor had a breakaway, I think it was in the first period, and he was at the end of a shift, and the shift length was a minute and 24 seconds, so I think he just ran out of gas. But he also, I thought he was going to stay on his backhand on the breakaway, but he ended up going to the move that he's so good at of backhand, then quick forehand and snapping it. And he tried doing that, and I think there was a reason why, mainly why he couldn't get a shot off, is because it put the defenseman in a spot where he can lift his stick and prevent him from getting the shot off. I'd like to see Connor stay with that backhand, although I say that it's weird because I can't remember times where Bedard really goes to the backhand. I mean, he's constantly on his forehand. And in some way, it's kind of funny to me because his idol, his childhood idol, is Sidney Crosby, who probably has the best backhand in like of all time in the NHL. And Patrick Kane, one of the guys he grew up watching as well, also has a top five backhand in the NHL. And so it's funny to see that Connor doesn't really go to the backhand, but I wonder at what point does he have to start using it a little bit more often, because that the backhand forehand in a situation like tonight ended up preventing him from getting a shot off because it allowed the defenseman to lift his stick. And if he would have stayed on his backhand, he would have at least been able to kind of shield off the defender and continue driving to the net. So we'll see if that's an adjustment that he makes. I mean, he's so good at the backhand forehand move, though, that you know you don't want him to get away from it too much, but maybe just a kind of a different trick in his bag. All right, we got more to get to on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game. Then we'll also hear from Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Teravainen at center ice, and he'll lift the bouncing puck through the Stars. Priest ends up in the near circle. Teravainen put it in front. Bertuzzi pokes it on goal, and oh, and what a save made by Ottinger there with the pads. That's the save of the game for Dallas.
Oh, teed me up, John Weideman. That's the save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. Arvid Soderblom had 37 of 39 shots. So he was tested all night. Jake Ottinger didn't face too many shots in the first two periods. He had 5 in the first period, 9 in the second. There were 5 shots by the Blackhawks in that second period in a 10-second span. It was a third period where he really started to get tested. Fun fact, well, actually, it's not so fun if you're a Chicago fan, but I was going to say fun fact about Jake Ottinger. So the Blackhawks held the 2017 NHL draft at the United Center, and Chicago held the number 26 overall pick. And if you remember, the Hawks traded 3 spots back to pick number 29 and then acquired an additional third round pick in that draft. The Blackhawks took Henry Jokiharju, defenseman, with the 29th overall pick. And it was Dallas that traded into Chicago's spot at 26th overall. And they took Jake Ottinger in that spot. So that stings a little bit, especially when you look at the third round pick of the Blackhawks. The 70th overall was Andre Altibarmakayan. I don't even think he ever made it over to North America. So, yeah, anyway, not so fun fact for Chicago, but I thought there was a cool fact for at least the casual hockey fan. But Jake Ottinger, man, I would be surprised if he does not get a Vezina trophy at some point in his career. He's probably going to be a finalist this year, but he's got the potential to win multiple Vezina trophies for the top goaltender in the NHL. Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson spoke with the media a little bit ago. Let's hear what he had to say on this one.
Coach, what did you think of the start tonight?
You know, I thought our first period wasn't that bad. I think it was more they were really good. You have to give them credit. I think they won more than 75% of the faceoffs, and they're a fast team. So when we start out without the puck, I think that's a hard thing. We're chasing the game quite a bit. But I thought we hung in there in the first, and Arvid, our goaltender, gave us a great game to give us a chance at the end with a couple good chances with the goalie out. But it was very much the same as the outcome as last time we were here a week ago or so.
What do you make when your team only has 5 shots on goal about halfway through the game?
Yeah, we had probably some chances that didn't get counted as a shot, but it definitely was lopsided, and they came out strong. Like, they're a good team, skated well, and we knew that they probably wouldn't be happy coming home from Europe with a couple losses. But, you know, we're not happy with our last game as well. So I thought our desperation really showed in the third. But, you know, we got to try and get that a little bit, desperation a little bit before that. And but you know what? The shot count, sometimes it's not as indicative as some of the other stats. To me, like, the face-offs are very concerning because a team like ours is always behind the eight ball if we have to be chasing it all the time.
And are there any positives that you can take knowing that you guys kept it really close when you finally did get to your game there in the third?
Yeah, I think coaches are always going to find that. But I think our team, you know, what I really like about the character of our team, the players, meaning that they're not taking any moral victories anymore. We're taking a step past that this year, and we're not happy, and we're just going to take this and put this intensity that we had in the third period and bring it to the next game. And I've liked our character and our pushback after a game like this all year long, so I'm expecting that again from our players.
Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson talking there about the moral victories and not wanting to play that card, and rightfully so. The Hawks want to take that next step this year in their rebuild. He was also saying how the faceoffs have been a little bit concerning. Specifically tonight, they had a really, really tough time. Only won 16 of 56 draws for a win percentage of just 29%. I mean, that is extremely low. Mentioned earlier that Jamie Benn was 16-0 at the dot. Thought he had one loss to Connor Bedard, but who knows. Roope Hintz won 12 of 14 for Dallas. So those two combined were unbelievable at the faceoff circle. The Stars really leaned heavily on them. And that's one of the areas, too, that the Blackhawks are going to need from some of their younger prospects down the road when they're looking at Oliver Moore and Frank Nazar and Sacha Boisvert and some of these centers that are they're primarily centers. I'm sure they're hoping that some of those guys can be dependable on the in the faceoff department, because the Hawks were spoiled for 16 years with Jonathan Toews here, where he was just a faceoff machine, where you can put him out there on the power play, on the penalty kill, for defensive zone draws, offensive zone draws, just all these key faceoffs. The Blackhawks were able to throw Toews out there, and also for a while they hired Marcus Kruger, and Dave Bolin was always good in that department and just a two-way guy. So there were role players in the Blackhawks that they had on their Stanley Cup winning teams, that and a lot of those players are I'm sure they were good in the faceoff circle. One guy, Jason Dickinson, hasn't been as strong in that department this year. He was pretty dependable in that area last year. I think it was the second half of last season where he really started to get better in that department. And this year, for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to take that step. Ironically, Nick Foligno, who doesn't even play center full-time, has been the Blackhawks' most dependable face-off specialist this season. He only took three draws in this game because he was on a line with Jason Dickinson, and he lost all three of them. So that's a rare off night for Foligno in the face-off circle. So we'll see if the Blackhawks can take that next, if they can get an infusion of talent, the talent that is in the pipeline. We'll see if they can bring that face-off type mentality, or if they can bring that, because they don't have anyone on the roster right now. Like Connor Bedard, he's going to be an elite centerman in the NHL for a long time, but that is really a weakness of his, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be an area of strength for his. He's going to have to try to overcome that, or the Hawks are going to have to try to find ways to put players with him that could win those draws on a line with Connor Bedard. And second and third lines down the road, you hope the Blackhawks can find players like that as well. All right, we got one more break to get to, then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, putting the final bow on a 3-1 loss to the Dallas Stars at American Airlines Center. Wanted to shout out Joey Anderson, returned to the lineup tonight. Missed the last 9 games, I want to say with an illness, but he missed the game after the home opener because of an illness. And then the Blackhawks started to roll with a more consistent lineup, and he just struggled to find his way back in the lineup. So it was nice to see him get back in on the action. I thought the line with Foligno, Dickinson, Anderson was a really dependable one for the Blackhawks last year. So we'll see if Anderson can kind of be more of a fixture on that third line for the Blackhawks. I did a prospects update in the pregame show, but I want to carry it over here to the postgame show as well, because I just spent a lot of time talking about the faceoff department for the Blackhawks, and I want to shout out a Blackhawks prospect, kind of go off the radar here, Dominic James, a 6th round pick by Chicago in 2022. He's in his senior season right now at Minnesota Duluth. He only played two games last year because he missed. He had a season-ending shoulder injury. But this year, he's off to a terrific start. 10 points in seven games. He's got six goals, which are tied for second among all college skaters. Two of those goals are game winners and four on the power play. But here's the stat that I think Chicago fans should like. 96 for 153 in the faceoff department, a win percentage of 62.7 at the dot. He's also averaging 22.36 of ice time, which is a significant amount of ice time for a forward. So, hey, that's a player that has not on the really a lot on the radar of Blackhawks fans, but maybe potentially should. And I'm not sure if he is going to sign an entry-level contract after his senior season, because obviously his college eligibility is coming up. But that's a potential guy where if you're the Blackhawks organization looking for someone that can maybe play a bottom six role and win some draws, maybe Dominic James, he's giving the Blackhawks something to think about. So we'll see what comes from that. But Dominic James, 22 years old. So he's kind of in like this Landon Slager territory of more mature than physically and maybe mentally, just being around in college for 4 years. Like maybe he's a guy that can step in quicker than some of the other guys are on a longer track. Let's get to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Let's head over to Minnesota, where they recently played the LA Kings. Zach Bogosian ended up scoring the lone goal for the Minnesota Wild against that one.
Foligno will step in and take the draw for Minnesota. Chisholm to Bogosian. His shot, they score!
Feels like Zach Bogosian has been in the league forever. I think he was part of one of the Stanley Cup teams for Tampa Bay. The Minnesota Wild ended up losing that game on Tuesday 5-1, but they have been terrific this season. Kind of a surprise team, I guess, in my eyes. They're 8-2-2, 18 points. Their 950 points percentage going into tonight's game was second in the Western Conference. I do think a regression, though, is coming. They have a pretty abnormal shooting percentage at 5-on-5, 10.5%. Their save percentage is 936 at 5-on-5. So their combined shooting and save percentage is 104.4, which is pretty high. Their penalty kill is also really struggling. They're 31st in the NHL at 62.5%. The one guy to watch clearly on that team, though, is Kirill Kaprizov. He's got 21 points, 7 goals, 14 assists in 12 games. He's tied for fourth in the NHL with 21 points. Man, it feels like he's going to be throwing his name into the mix for the Hart Trophy this season if he continues to perform the way he has. And Minnesota has been leaning on him a little bit more heavily than they have in years past. Like his ice time, I think, was 21.5 last year. Now that's upped to 22.5 this year. So almost a full minute per game more this year, and rightfully so. I mean, he's a guy that feels like he can handle those minutes, but you just hope for Minnesota's sake that they don't kind of wear him into the ground. But man, he is an electrifying player to watch, super entertaining, and he will be at the United Center on Sunday when the Blackhawks host the Minnesota Wild. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Alan Poppy. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. And for John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Dallas, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 3-1 Blackhawks loss to the Stars. Thanks for being with us tonight. We'll talk to you on Sunday from the UC.